Crossing Paths by J.H. Johns. I set out the Saturday after to see the fruits of hate, not knowing that we would cross paths. It was a sunny day, much like Tuesday was, but everyone knew it was different. On the train, most of the passengers in my car were silent, and those who did speak whispered in hushed tones. 20 minutes later, I arrived at Penn Station. I stepped onto the platform, ascended the stairs to the concourse, and what I saw and what I felt made me wonder if somehow surrealism had escaped from the museums and galleries. Law enforcement, military, weapons, nervousness, anxiety. A twisting of reality as I had known it. Immediately, I felt the pulsating stress of the armed camp that I would find to be Manhattan. Surrealism and tension, fear and suspicion, confusion and uncertainty, hope and despair. They drew me and followed me and accompanied me, intensifying as I made my way down Broadway, and then detoured so as to go past the Lexington Avenue Armory. And all that I was feeling was visible there, in the faces of the people on the street and on the faces in the photos and posters of the missing. Continuing on, it became stronger still in Union Square Park. Finally, I found it, caged in below Canal Street, exactly where the Twin Towers once stood, now the epicenter of disbelief. For the next couple of hours, I prowled the perimeter of the cage, trying and on rare occasion managing to catch a glimpse. The streets were immaculate, but still covered in a dusting of white. And I saw people pressed up against a chain-link fence, trying to pull sheets of paper toward them. I watched, and then I realized, I had to admit, maybe that's all that remained, maybe that's all that survived, just loose pieces of paper. In time, I felt that I had seen enough and began to leave. I was crossing a green space that divided a street when it came to me to pull back the bushes of the low-growing evergreens. There I found testimonies the street crews had overlooked, an 8x10 photo, a page out of a desk calendar, a pair of women's shoes, and a business card. It belonged to David Remington. He was, in his own way, face down in the bushes. I saved the card, but waited years before I called to find out what had happened to him. Yet, over all that time, I could not help but continually wonder and repeatedly call out, "David Remington, where are you?" The end.